Today, Good Friday is one of the most unique events that we will ever experience in our lifetime. More unique than most cosmic events that we will experience in our lifetime. It has not occurred since the year 1608 and will not happen again until the year 2157. This year, Good Friday falls on March 25th, the day we traditionally celebrate the conception of Jesus, the Annunciation. You see, today we celebrate both his life and his death. This day stands as a contrast on many levels. Number one, that Jesus was born to die. Our natural reaction to the idea of life and death in the same sentence stands in contrast to everything that we believe as Catholics and everything we stand for. The protection of life in the womb, the dignity of the human person, the killing of innocents. So how can we call today Good Friday if Jesus was born to die? I saw this morning a comic on Facebook, BC. Some of you remember the comic BC back when we had newspapers. And there was the two characters, one sitting on the side of a hill staring out over a vista, and he asked the other, "How can today be considered good if Jesus died?" And the other one says to him, "He died for your sins so that you might have eternal life. How does that make you feel?" And the other character says, "Well, good." He says, "There's my point." You see, today is called good because of what we receive, not what was done to Jesus. When you think about the hardships of this life and realize that it's just a temporary existence to prepare for the life to come, how do you feel? If you know that there's something so much better beyond this life awaiting you, how does that make you feel? Hopefully, good. You see, brothers and sisters, we are also born to die. Now, when God created Adam and Eve, that wasn't his original intention. He never wanted Adam and Eve or their descendants to ever experience death. But that is the result of sin. But we as Christians have been redefined. And now we are born to die. We are born into this life to live it, to bring as many people along with us, to evangelize, to experience the good in this world, and then to die so that we can be born into eternal life, a second birth. Once we come to terms with this fact that we too are born to die, it reorients our whole way of living. Another fact stands in contrast, in irony, if you will, that Jesus was killed by his own people. Remember that the Jewish people were waiting for a Messiah, and Jesus said he was, and yet they still killed him. And the irony is that he was exactly what they needed, and they got rid of him. You see, guys, sometimes God is exactly what we need. The people he puts in our life, the situations he puts us in, it's exactly what we need, but not always what we want or feel that God should be. I remember hearing the story of a guy in a flood who the fireman came along and said, "Sir, the whole area is flooding. Please come with us." And he says, "No, thank you. I'm a man of faith. I'm going to pray that God will take away the floodwaters. I'll be fine." The next day, a boat came by as the floodwaters rose, and they said, "Sir, you must come with us. The river's rising, and it's going to flood. You won't have anywhere to go." He says, "No, God will save me." Finally, he's on his roof because the waters have risen so high, and a helicopter comes, and he waves them off saying, no, I'm a believer. God will save me." Well, the man drowns and goes to heaven. And he says, "God, I'm a man of faith, and I believed in you. And I even told other people God's going to save me." And God turns to him and says, well, I sent you a fireman, a boat, and a helicopter. What else do you want? You see, brothers and sisters, salvation does not always come in the way we expect it, just as the Messiah didn't come in the way people expected. It can come in the parking lot. It can come at work, at school. It can come simply by volunteering for something that you don't know how to do. It can be like Peter, a fisherman who followed Jesus, denied him, and became the first pope. God saves through the most unexpected circumstances in our lives. Sometimes the most trying, sometimes the most difficult, or when we feel most lost. As Peter turns to Jesus tonight, as we hear in the gospel, and looks in his face after denying him three times. And yet, Peter found salvation. So can we. We tend to think that salvation comes through just the practice of quote-unquote holy things. Coming to church tonight, praying the stations this afternoon, praying my prayers before meals, and all those things are necessary for salvation. But salvation comes through every experience, every relationship, every word we speak or action we do or not do not take. Absolutely everything you encounter every day will either contribute to your salvation or take away from it. The Messiah works in unexpected ways. What makes this second contradiction even doubly ironic is that by killing Jesus, the Messiah, the people of the time actually accomplished the will of God. Can you imagine perhaps being that soldier who thrust a lance into his side, pouring out water and blood, and you die and you've converted, as is the legend, and you go before God and say, well, I helped kill Jesus. And God says, welcome into my kingdom. It's ironic, isn't it? It's a mystery that the Jewish people did not recognize the Messiah. They killed him, and yet they remained part of God's plan. And that's the beauty of God's plan, is that even when we don't cooperate with it, he'll still make it happen. I've encountered so many people as a priest who come in and say, Father, I've screwed up my life. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm lost. And certainly I can understand that feeling, having been there myself. But don't you think God has a plan? And even when we mess it up, don't you think he has another one? He never gives up on us. He didn't give up on his son. He's not going to give up on you. You see, God's plan will be accomplished one way or another. It will be accomplished. It simply comes down to how cooperative we choose to be in it. We should not be so arrogant as to think that we can control the outcome of everything or God's plan happening. But we also must be humble enough to accept our role as being part of his plan. We recognize today the life and death of Jesus, his conception and his crucifixion, his coming into the world and his being killed by the world. But will we recognize the coming of Jesus into our world, especially in these three ways? That we realize that we are born to die, to be born again into eternal life. Can people tell that's who we are? Can people tell by your checkbooks, your car, your words, your house, your music, that you were born to die and to live again in heaven? Do we recognize that salvation comes in the least expected ways sometimes? And that God will always give us what we need, but not necessarily what we want? And do we recognize that God's plan will be accomplished, with or without us, better for us if we participate in his work of salvation, better for us if we participate in the cross.